We're back on the Fan Pregame, Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590. Fan, if you're just tuning in, we've got a two-hour show this week, so you missed Shai Davidi and you missed Scott Russell, so you can go back on our podcast and check that out. Two great chats. Shai Davidi's in Texas ahead of the MLB All-Star Game, which is tonight at 7:30 on Sportsnet, and you can hear it here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, and Scott Russell's headed to Paris tomorrow, I believe, for the next long amount of time. I think he's going to be there for...
Yeah, I think 20, it's like a
30 days, I guess.
And the Paralympics after, though. So,
yeah,
it's,
so that's a long time, Scott.
Pretty much the rest of summer.
He's going to be there. He's going to be just, whew, what a life living in Paris. I was just telling you behind the scenes here that some of the locations for these Olympic Games are unbelievable. The beach volleyball courts are at the base of the Eiffel Tower, basically, and equestrians at like Palais Versailles. And they just really picked some incredible spots to do these events. I mean, it's a pretty aesthetic spot in itself, but it's going to be good. And surfing, I believe, is in Fiji?
Fiji?
No, it's in Tahiti. Because, well, where do you think they're going to surf and where are they going to surf?
I don't know. We're going to have to figure this out exactly where it is, though. Like it's in a different continent.
It's in Tahiti. Well, where else are they going to surf? They can't surf in Paris.
No, but there's coastline in France.
You know, but it's...
I'm sure there's
they need something good.
Well, let's look this up while we have...
I'm going to look it up right now. Surfing Paris Olympics. It's going to be in not Paris.
But not Paris, but in France.
It's in Tahiti. It's because it's a French colony.
Wow. Okay, so you're going to
Paris Olympics. We should have been doing surfing growing up.
Do you even go to Paris if you're...
Probably not. They're not very close.
No. It's kind of a bummer, actually.
No, that's pretty sick. I'd be happy to go there.
Yeah, I guess it'd be pretty good.
I think so. We got a couple texts in the text line, and you can send that in 590-590. Standard message and data rates may apply. We got Richard saying, I like summer and winter games, but this year I'm looking forward to lacrosse. Lacrosse is coming in 2028. It's making its return to the Summer Olympics in 2028, which will be awesome. It's coming for
the
Olympic Games,
taking the place of breaking?
Possibly, but... Lacrosse, yeah, coming back. It's coming back in 2028, of the specific version for the LA Games. I'm curious. I don't know if we picked this off the air, what John Morosi would say, but he's joining us. Are you more of a summer or winter games, Mr. John Morosi?
Winter games, my friend.
Really?
I am so excited for the first best on best that we've had at the Olympics in hockey.
Okay.
Of course, since Sochi. And it's all going to happen very close to where my family is originally from in the north of Italy. So for me, Milano Cortina in particular is an event that I will be at. I don't know what my role will be there. If I can't find a broadcasting role, I will be the usher at the hockey arena. But I am going to be there.
Okay, but you have to eliminate hockey from this answer then. If hockey doesn't exist in summer or winter Olympics, is it still winter?
Well, that's easy then.
Why?
If hockey doesn't exist, this is a opening clause of a sentence, Ilish, that none of us ever want to contemplate.
We'll bring it back shortly.
But let's see. If hockey did not exist, if
does the win- do the Winter Olympics exist without hockey? Is the better question.
I'm a team summer. Right.
I do love figure skating. I do love skiing. But I would say the totality of the summer events, if you eliminate hockey from the conversation, summer does have a pretty unique menu of opportunities. You've got high-level basketball. The soccer tournament this year should be excellent on both the men's and women's sides. Of course, Canada having won Olympic gold in soccer very recently as well. I do think track and field, gymnastics, I would say, now summer is just a much larger competition overall. Sure. There's more to choose from. And field hockey, which is the favorite sport of my daughters, also in summer. So I think that I'm going to have to say, if you set hockey aside, it's summer. With hockey, it's winter.
Okay, that's fair. And we look forward to seeing you in 2026.
Good math.
2026. Milano Cortina, I believe they are finally building the arena, I believe. I don't have a live cam on this, but I know that the pace with which the Milan hockey venue was being constructed was a bit of a concern. Hopefully that is now being remedied.
Yeah, Gary Bettman wasn't too pleased with the progress at last thought. But yeah, I think, we'll get there. We're getting back there. Best on best is coming after 12 years, but we are going to get there. Okay, so let's go back to last night here quickly, John, because despite that event not being about the Blue Jays whatsoever, that being the Home Run Derby, it was largely about the Toronto Blue Jays and the relationship between Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Teoscar Hernandez. What were your thoughts, your Blue Jays related thoughts, watching those two kind of steal the show as a tandem, as a friendship, as a partnership, as a lost partnership?
Yes, you're exactly right, Justin. I think that there was a, oh, what once was emotion on the part of a lot of Blue Jays fans and observers, because they did bring out, I think, a lot of magic in each other when they were teammates in Toronto. And we saw that chemistry immediately right there again on the field there in Arlington last night. So Teo, I think it was a great guy to have in this competition. Of course, he barely was able to get through the semifinal against Alec Boehm, and what a great race that was against Bobby Witt Jr. in the final, but certainly a deserving winner, prodigious power. I think a big reminder that I think with the exception of Ohtani, that Teoscar leads the Dodgers in home runs and RBI this year. He's been a force for the Los Angeles Dodgers this season, and I do think there is something to it that he seemed to bring out the best in Vladdy when he was a Blue Jay. And you could tell Vladdy was firmly in Teo's corner. I think you recall there have been recent iterations of the Home Run Derby where they've actually separated the players by country as opposed to by team, and have you represent your country. There was a WBC-themed Home Run Derby once upon a time. So it's natural that friendships transcend the uniforms that you're wearing. So that was not at all jarring to me last night. I fully expected that Vladdy would be in Teo's corner, but certainly I think for Blue Jay fans, a reminder of how fleeting that magic was that they made together there in the Blue Jay lineup.
Yeah, I think a lot of Blue Jays fans watched like, oh, man, wouldn't that be nice if Teo was still on the Blue Jays, and then kind of woke up this morning with maybe a pit in their stomach in terms of, okay, are they going to big brain themselves out of future decisions like this? Like, you know, there's a lot of pending free agents around the corner, but there's some with a little bit of control that they need to make decisions on. He's like the one that got away. Maybe the feeling of this tide changing from what the Blue Jays were to what the Blue Jays are now. When you look at some of these big decisions coming up, will the Blue Jays learn from any of these mistakes? I think we could say that Teo was a bit of a mistake to let go.
I think it was, and I certainly think that they could have fulfilled their pitching needs by not having to trade Teoscar Hernandez. I mean, that wasn't certainly a totally lost deal from the standpoint of the Blue Jays, but you would have liked to have seen him still be back in this uniform. He's done a lot for, I think he did a lot for the Jays when he was there. And I think now the Dodgers are fully seeing just how valuable of a player he's become. I think, Ailish, the Jays, now that we're through the draft as of a few minutes ago, it's now officially the trade deadline season. It is upon us now. The deadline is 2 weeks from tonight, 2 weeks from basically right now. 2 weeks from now is the deadline, 6 p.m. Eastern time. So we are in that window. And I think that the Jays have a lot of different options in front of them. And they're not all bad, by the way. I do think there are some ways they could make some clever moves and reposition themselves and be a better team in 2025. But the key question, and it's the Chris Bassett question, the Gossman question, yes, the Bichette and the Vlad question about how far this is going to go. I think it's clear to me there's a better than 50-50 chance Kikuchi is somewhere else by July 31st. Turner is somewhere else by July 31st. A lot of different options. If you're on an expiring contract, it's a pretty decent chance you're at least readily available, if not actually getting traded. I think that if you're talking about Bassett and Gossman in particular, the number of teams that are in dire straits with respect to the reliability of their pitching staff, the Jays are going to get calls on Bassett and Gossman. I would say it would not surprise me if they're getting more calls already on the two of them than they're getting on Vlad and Boehm, because the need for pitching is that profound right now. I do think there may be some teams, Cleveland and the Dodgers come to mind, that may still look beyond Boehm's numbers and say, okay, he can help us at shortstop. But the number of teams for whom Bassett and Gossman would be a real upgrade in their rotation is basically every contending team. And so I think that the Jays, I have not heard anybody from the front office tell me directly, hey, we're just not listening on anybody who's under contract for next year. That has not been said to me. So I think there are still some scenarios in which these players would move, but the prices are going to be appropriately high, because if you trade Bassett, if you trade Gossman, if you trade Vlad, if you trade Boehm, you are directly diminishing your chance to be a contending team in 2025. There's no way that you could really explain that away. If you're making that trade, you are diminishing yourself for next year and augmenting your future. That's just what that trade would mean. And I think that to get to that spot, you'd have to really like the return you're getting. You have to pay, I think, a tax on that because it might be an unpopular move from the fan base perspective. So I think all those things are in play, Ailish and Justin. I think the Jays are one of the teams that hold the key to the trade deadline because if they really wanted to sell, if they were really open-minded and willing to reimagine their roster for next season, I think a lot of those arms in particular would change the market by having the likes of Bassett and Gossman available.
So is it safe to say then that other teams will choose the Blue Jays' direction in 2025, other teams being what they're willing to put on the table for what the Blue Jays need in 2025 in order to be competitive in any real discernible way?
Yeah, it's a good point, Justin, because I think in a lot of ways the Jays' direction is somewhat contingent upon the quality of the offers. And if the offers are underwhelming, you're right. They're probably not going to have much of a choice but to just trade the expiring contracts and make another run at this thing at the start of 2025. And if we're going to take the big picture here, if you were to look at where Bo's season is to date, the first 4 months, and by the way, it's not really a small sample anymore. This is it's been a bad year for him statistically. If you look at the chances that he will have a similarly poor start to next season, that'd be surprising. This is maybe the 10th percentile of what you would ever hope to get from Bo in the first 4 months of the year. And he's capable of so much more that I think that's part of the reason why it would be difficult to sell low on someone like Bo. And you're right, Justin. I think you're now that you're in a marketplace, you are somewhat beholden to the quality of the offers that you're getting elsewhere. What I would say is that because Bassett and Gossman are relatively reliable in terms of the big picture of arms, I do think they'll get some quality offers. Ironically, I keep mentioning the Dodgers, whether it's Bo, whether it's Kikuchi. The Dodgers' rotation right now is basically James Paxton, great Canadian, and openers right now because Glasnow's hurt, Kershaw's hurt, Buehler's hurt, Yamamoto's hurt, Bobby Miller's in the minor leagues, May is gone for the season, Gonsolin is a maybe. They're in really, really difficult positions right now with their pitching. So I think someone with the reliability of Bassett would be extraordinarily valuable to the Dodgers, especially if they're already talking with potentially the Jays about a Bichette. So it's an interesting pairing, to say the least, depending on how things go the next couple weeks.
I was just going to think, like, what about a big grand slam package deal? Like, you got a Bo Bichette.
The old blockbuster.
A big blockbuster. Wouldn't that be nice for us? Give us something. But, like, yeah, you know, we got the pitching surplus here, and we have Bo Bichette, who could be a good positional player there that they're looking for. But maybe they need a change of scenery type vibe with Bo Bichette because he's hard to evaluate at this point. We know what he's done. We know what he's doing. Could you picture blockbuster headlines, Toronto, Dodgers, and then we just all get to talk to you again in 2 weeks?
it'd be quite a story, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. for so many reasons, it'd be quite a story. I think that when you look at the needs, though, it is a fairly clear fit. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers farm system, though, I should caution and say it's good, but it's no longer great because either some of their players are now up at the major league level and having what I would say important impacts on their everyday club, like Miguel Vargas, like Annie Pache, to the point they might be challenging to move. James Outman has struggled this season after having a breakout year in 2023. A lot of their pitching, and this is what we're talking about right now, Gavin Stone has been healthy, but a lot of the other guys have been injured. So a lot of their tradable pieces, you'd have to be, if you're the Blue Jays, really confident that Bobby Miller would bounce back in a big way, or that you're getting a prospect that you really like. And again, maybe it is Gavin Lux. Maybe it is James Outman, a young everyday player who has struggled there, but you believe would be better for you. But the tricky part here is that this sounds a little bit almost like the Dalton Varsho deal, which, by the way, is a lot better this year than it was last year. But it's these are starting to be some similar threads of deals that haven't always worked out for the Toronto Blue Jays in the last couple seasons. So it really is a bit of a quandary that they're in. I would caution, though, by saying that there are so many scouts that I speak with now, Ailish and Justin, who tell me that the talent level in the minor leagues is not as high as it should be. That if you want to go and make a blockbuster deal, I think back to the Miguel Cabrera blockbuster where the Tigers gave up Cameron Maybin and Andrew Miller, and there have been some big deals. The Roy Halladay deal was a big one. The Cliff Lee deal was a big one. The CeCe Sabathia deal was a big one. They have happened in the past, But I'm just saying that the industry opinion about what's now in the minor leagues broadly is not that high. Because I think that they see that a lot of the better talents, such as the guy who's starting the All-Star game tonight and Paul Skeens, they're rushed to the big leagues. They're drafted, and a year later, here they are. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the notion of the Dodgers or really anybody aside from the Orioles, whose farm system is legitimately stacked, but there's the in-division complexity if it's the Jays that we're talking about. There are not that many teams with just the absolute, I'm going to make you an offer that you can't refuse type of a approach. I would just caution Jays fans to adjust their expectations accordingly, because some of the scouts I speak with say, John, there's not as much talent here as we thought there should have been 5 or 6 years ago.
Well, that's heartening. If the Blue Jays have a square peg, I'd say it's Danny Jansen, right? Because, you know, Kikuchi could go pretty much anywhere. Everyone needs pitching, but not everyone needs a guy like Danny Jansen. If the Blue Jays decide to move on, or if they're given that opportunity, are you hearing anything on Danny Jansen? Are there any takers? Does it make sense for the Blue Jays to move on? What's the latest there?
Yeah, I think one team that has had, just based on injury situations the last month or so, that could be a fit would be the Yankees. The Yankees have not had a ton of production from the catching position this season. And I know that there's always that inherent uncomfortability of making a change at catcher. It's the one position where you really have to, I think, consider the defensive component before you bring in a player at the middle part of the year, because you got to learn a new staff. There's a lot of just every pitcher has their own nuances and complexities. Now, the advantage with Jansen, if he goes to the Yankees, would be he knows that staff. He's been in the division for a long time. He's faced a lot of these pitchers. So there's that comfort level there. But it is a very interesting dynamic to where I think the Yankees wish they would have had more out of that position. And Jansen, though, I think does have enough athleticism where you could probably put him at first base if you're a contending team. You could have him DH. There are enough teams out there, and the Yankees are clearly the top of this list, who just need some offensive help. The Yankees, their offenses revolve so much around Judge and Soto. Rice has helped them, but they need more. And so I think that at some point, a team might say, listen, I can deal with maybe the uncomfortability for a start or two with a new catcher because I just need the bat. And Jansen, when healthy, we know, is one of the Blue Jays' better bats. So I think it's a very interesting idea. And it's also a position, by the way, that the Jays probably have to get some good feedback on about what their team's going to look like next year. Jansen's deal is expiring. How many games do they want Kirk to catch? You know, there is a catcher with the Phillies that I would point out that once JT Realmuto comes back, Rafael Marchand, who's done a very good job as a receiver, I think he's going to be a guy, maybe not necessarily as a fit with the Jays, but just in general, I think the industry likes him, and he's the third catcher on a team that's going for it. So I think that there's a lot of scouts right now looking at Marchand, who's a really good, I think, co-catcher right now with the Philadelphia Phillies.
In this market, we're always begging for, I guess, some clarity. I think we've got it. The Blue Jays will be sellers. But there's a lot of teams that are kind of in that mushy middle that might think that they need to make a run for it, or they can add a couple of key pieces. So is there a team that would be like a sneaky dark horse buyer that we might be surprised that decides that this might be a year that they buy?
So the team that's traveling up the 401 to see you here this weekend, the Detroit Tigers, please send me back some good scouting reports on how they
will.
Look. Because they're right now on the pivot point. It's actually been their best first half, I believe, in 8 years. They played well over the weekend. They actually won a series against the Dodgers with back-to-back walk-offs. I did not see that coming. My mom was thrilled, though. She was calling me about that. So I think that when you look at the Tigers, they've got Tarek Skubal, who would be, if he's actually available, the best guy out there on the pitching side. I don't expect that they'll trade him. I'll make it clear there, but there's some curiosity to see what happens. They've got some bullpen to move. I think Mark Canna could certainly get moved. Gio Urshela, who had one of the walk-off hits over the weekend, he could get moved. He might actually be a really good fit for the Phillies because they want a righty bat. So we'll see. I think there's a lot of different teams that are kind of on that bubble. I think one team that's joined the Blue Jays in the selling category, somewhat surprisingly this season, Chicago Cubs. The Chicago Cubs, when the season began, thought they were going to be competing for a division title. They're last right now in the National League Central. The Reds, I think, are leaning towards being sellers, at least of their shorter-term guys, like a Frankie Montas, who's got a very interesting profile this year. He's pitched quite well. I think that the Astros have played themselves into being buyers. I think the Rangers are close enough that they'll probably still err on the side of buying, because it's just hard to sell. You win the World Series, you host the All-Star game, and then you start trading your players. I just think that'd be a funny fit for that team at the moment. So I think a lot of teams, I would say, Ailish, they've basically decided, a lot of them have. But I think it's maybe like a team like the Jays that are deciding between, okay, are we going to sell just our tradable guys for this year, which to me is obvious, versus the more dramatic remake. And because so few teams are really selling, Ailish and Justin, that to me is where the advantage is. If you're going to take ownership of not having had a great season and actually making some moves to look for the longer-term future, I think some very good deals could be done by teams like the Marlins, the White Sox, and maybe one that's closer to home for you.
So let's say the walk-off wins dry up for the Tigers, and they do decide to sell off some assets, that being, you know,
John's
Tarik Skubal.
Mom will be upset.
She will be, but maybe there'll be a good return for Tarik Skubal. Like, will there be... What would the race look like to acquire him? Because he's the front runner, I think, right now to win the Cy Young in the American League. If you're the Dodgers, I don't know how you're not throwing everything you got at him in order to try and fix that problem. If Skubal's on the market, what happens and how does that affect the Blue Jays?
It would have to be an immense package coming back. And I'm talking like four or five A-level players. Again, I would say look at the deal that the Padres did with Juan Soto and the Nationals and what they gave up to get him. Now, that was, what, 2.5 years? But still, it was massive, which is basically the same amount of time left on the deal that Skubal has. I would say that Skubal right now is at least as valuable of an asset in the marketplace as Soto was at the time. Because with Skubal, he's very inexpensive, even less expensive than what Soto was from a contractual standpoint. And he is what everyone needs. He is of interest to everybody, the entire industry. There's no conversation about, well, this position player is that position, I've got somebody else. No, Skubal improves everybody's rotation, period, on the day that he'd be acquired. And so if you're the Dodgers, it would have to be Stone, potentially some of the group of Outman, Pache, and likely others. You'd have to probably go down to the minor leagues and kick in some more talent from there. I actually think, though, the Dodgers would be short of what the offer would have to be to get Skubal unless they did something really extraordinary, because the Baltimore Orioles, who I think have just as clear of a need for a starting pitcher and a much better farm system, could, I think, if they're motivated, make that deal. Now, they probably have to give up one of their young players who's already in the big leagues. And again, Westberg, Couser, one of those talents. Are we going to ask for a Jackson Holliday, a Kobe Mayo? I mean, this, when you're talking about someone like this, Like a Juan Soto type, or in this case, a Skubal type, you can't have guys who are off limits. You cannot. You have to be, I mean, look at who the Nationals in that trade got: James Wood and CJ Abrams, who's playing tonight in the All-Star game. And Wood is one of the best young players in the game. And Mackenzie Gore. I mean, it's going to have to be that kind of a deal. So if you're not ready to do that, it makes a very easy choice for the Tigers to just keep them and see if they can make a late season run or be better in 2025.
Okay, if we're talking Cy Young candidates, we got to ask you about Paul Skenes. Like, this has been such an exciting story to follow. He's obviously starting tonight at the All-Star game, as we mentioned, and he's, like, I think third in odds for the Cy Young already in this short start of his career. Just the potential that you're seeing from a first overall draft pick 1 year ago that's already come onto the scene and has done so well.
First, it's a great reminder, Ailish, of why the draft, which just concluded a short time ago, why it's so important. Now, granted, you're probably not going to take a Paul Skenes in the 10th round, but that's why these decisions, all of them, are so vitally important. Why, again, parenthetically, we could maybe at some point in time get into a conversation about the Jays and their drafting and where it's fallen short and their development in recent years. But I think Skenes, he's great for baseball. I love that he's starting this game. Full credit to Torrey Lovello, of course, former Blue Jays coach during the Farrell administration, for that Torrey decided to have Skenes start this game because it's what the people want to see. We want to see this guy. We want to see him face Judge. And by the way, Juan Soto went on MLB Network yesterday and promised the world, I'm going to get on base so that way all the people get a chance to see Aaron Judge face Paul Skenes. Thank you, Juan. So well, let's hope that that happens because, again, it no longer determines home field advantage. This is a game for fun and for us to see the best talent in the game. So, Ailish, it's a great question about could he actually do enough with being a 1 month lag time for him on the start of his season. Could he actually accumulate enough value from May 1 to the end of the season to win the Cy Young? I think there's a reason why he's not first on that list to win the Cy Young, but goodness, he is right there already. And I think he was the right choice to start this game. He has the best stuff. He's the best story. he's the most fun to watch. And I love it that that for someone from one of the smaller markets in MLB and Skeens has a chance to take the ball first. And it's going to be a Pittsburgh Pirate who's got all the attention. I love that for the game. I love it for Skeens. It's going to be a fun night of baseball.
If Skeens two innings, and is that a safe assumption, two innings tonight for Skeens?
Well, I hope so. So I there have been times when the starting pitcher has only gone one inning. I hope that we get two. I hope he's at least, and I hope that Torrey may actually say in the back of his mind, and this is probably all scripted. It's one of those things where it's like, this answer is known, not by me at the moment, but I'm sure Torrey's got a plan that we want to see him face Judge. And the Pirates have probably already said no more than X number of pitches, X number of ups and downs, depending on, and again, he's not going to have more than one up and down. But I think as the clever, somewhat glib answer for me would be, well, he didn't finish the no-hitter, so he's nice and rested. Mm-hmm. Let's let the young man pitch. That's what I would say. But again, that's just one man's opinion from, it's a little bit of show business here. I think he'd be great. And I do think that he should be rested enough. This is basically taking the place of his throw day. So I'm hoping that at least he faces Aaron Judge either by Juan Soto's design or Torrey Lovello's design.
Okay, so that is the biggest point of intrigue, which it is, I would say, for this All-Star game. What's number two for you? What else are you looking forward to seeing tonight before we let you go?
Just the young talent. I think that at shortstop in the American League, there were no wrong answers in terms of who was going to start, Gunnar Henderson versus Bobby Witt Jr. I think that we've got two of the best, I'll call it six talents, I think, in at least position players in the world right now, happen to play the same position in the same league. And I hope that they play in that same position in the same league for a long time. Now, it might become a conversation like, the American League at shortstop in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s with A-Rod and Jeter and Nomar in that time, and Ripken and Tram were at the same position, same time, and Ozzie Smith and Larkin, same position, same time. But, I mean, this is what we're seeing right now. And I love those historical comparisons. I grew up hearing stories about arguments as to who was the better player, even opposite league. Was it George Brett? Was it Mike Schmidt? This is what we should have. I love nothing more than a discussion about, like, who's better, Sid or Ovi, like in your own way. However you want to argue that point, the Peyton or Brady, whatever the argument is, I hope that tonight is the beginning of that argument in a baseball context. We had it with Trout and Harper for a long time. Obviously, Mike has been injured too much that it's really kind of taken that argument away from us. I hope that tonight, Henderson and Witt on the same team, same field, help us inspire a bit of that very good-natured discussion again.
It's like the argument between summer and winter Olympics. It's fun to have.
Exactly
the same. Just,
the same thing.
I'm going to have to think about, and by the way, baseball back in the Olympics in 2028. So I think
lacrosse, you're getting more. Yeah.
Yes, I love lacrosse too. Mm-hmm. Michigan, by the way, made the national tournament this year in women's lacrosse. So well done there to Coach Hannah Nielsen. So we'll see how we're doing going in the future. But I will say this: I think Canada made the last field hockey World Cup, and the U.S. didn't. So we got to get going here in the U.S. We're back in the Olympics, but there's a good rivalry in field hockey, just like ice hockey.
And we're smoking you guys in soccer as of
late. Just ask Jesse Marsh.
How's Jesse Marsh?
Wouldn't it be amazing if the U.S. Federation could hire a coach of the caliber of Jesse Marsh? Oh, wait, they had the opportunity, and they missed. So that is now our problem. Good on Jesse Marsh. Well done. Keep it going for Canada.
We're happy to have him. We'll take good care of him. You can't have him.
Okay? When you're winning, like, 500 medals in Paris.
True.
Things will even out a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. Well, John, this was so much fun. We'll chat with you soon. Enjoy tonight's game. And the next couple weeks, 2 weeks from now, we'll have been wrapping up to trade deadline. Aye, aye, aye.
Yes, looking forward to it. Call on me anytime, and look forward to enjoying the game tonight.
Yes, thanks so much. John Morosi of MLB Network, NHL Network, and all things Michigan.
And getting to the Olympics in 2026.
That's the gig that I want.
The usher or
just like being a broadcasting gig? Broadcasting it.
Yeah.
JP Morosi and me.
Olympic hockey.
You can be there too.
After 12 years and Italy. It sounds delightful.
Sounds amazing. Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah. So tonight, just a reminder, 7:30, MLB All-Star Game on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590. The Fan, we'll have it here as well. We'll take a quick break, and we got another half hour to go through the rest of our show. We had our text line open. You can send us a message or tweet us. Standard message and data rates may apply. Summer or Winter Olympics, we talked to Scott Russell. What's your favorite event? Like, what are you looking forward to most? It's 10 days away from the Paris Olympics. And tonight, it's the All-Star Game. We only got one Blue Jay in, Vladdy. He's batting seventh, so he might get one kick at the can. He might get two, depending on how generous they're being. I wish there was like a standard, like you had to do two at-bats or you had to play two innings. So then we could use that for our next block, which is us trying to decipher who's going to win the All-Star Game MVP. We're going to try to figure it out, but you can also send us a message if you have any thoughts or advice. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back for the final half hour here on the Fan Pregame.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back on the Fan Pregame, Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, after us, MLB All-Star Game up on Sportsnet, and you can hear it here as well. 7:30 start. Our show already comprised of very informative conversations with Shai Davidi, Scott Russell, and John Morosi, and now we will devolve into nonsense.
Yes, we will.
Well, you know, we got a couple things cooking here, okay? It's an open block. All-Star Game tonight. We try, Justin, as you've listened to our show, you know Justin's the king of future bets.
Thank you.
This is a future bet 1 hour from now. It's the same type of thing, though. We're just trying to
solve the equation.
It's, yeah, there's an equation. We love math.
Solve for X. And I could never solve for X.
If you gave me an hour to solve a math equation, I honestly don't think I could remember anything from grade 10, 11, or 12.
I'd have no chance.
Now there's the new iPads that you just write it and it completes the. Have you seen this?
I haven't, Apple's but new... I imagine there is technology that would allow.
No. It's like you handwrite, like, you know, you've got the brackets and stuff.
You're Albert Einstein, and you're putting it on the board.
And it completes it for you now. Where was that when I was in math?
Kids these days have it too easy.
Anywho,
they really do.
We're gonna solve for X. X being the All-Star MVP tonight. Does that make sense? Right? Yeah.
We're gonna give it a shot.
So we did a little bit of investigative journalism, which we're also good at. And I thought, well, of course, if it's in Texas, it's going to be a Texas Ranger. But really, that's only happened once in the last like decade or so. And it was Bieber winning in Cleveland.
We probably should have seen if there was more context. But he had one inning, struck out all three batters.
Yeah.
But one inning.
He wasn't even the starter.
Middle relief. Really not a clutch situation, at least by the box score, but gained the MVP for his three strikeout performance.
And it was a 4-3 game, so it wasn't like. So I thought we would find this whole list of answers of like, well, of course, when it's in Seattle, the Seattle Mariners win, but it's not really like that. But I feel like it might be like that tonight.
Yeah, I think there's a better chance because one of the Rangers is starting. There are two position players. At the All-Star Game, Corey Seager and Marcus Semien. Marcus Semien is starting, therefore, it goes against my hypothesis a little bit, which is you got to be around late game because these games are always tight. You got Paul Skeens going out there, probably going to get a couple shutout innings, at least by the way he's been pitching so far in his career, and it's going to come down to what happens in relief. The Shane Biebers of the world may decide this thing, so... When you have guys who aren't going to start the game but are going to come into the game, maybe get multiple at-bats, well, that's the best chance to win an MVP because you're going to have something big, a splashy play happen. You hit the home run. That puts you ahead. Elias Diaz, a guy I never heard of last year when I was watching the All-Star Game, won the All-Star Game MVP for the Colorado Rockies. And, yeah, no one probably had him going into the game. So the fact that Corey Seager is coming off the bench for the American League makes me think he might have a couple opportunities at bat late in the game in a clutch scenario. And he's, of course, a really, really good baseball player who could make something
happen.
And he's
50-1 to win.
And he's 50-1. So he's my number one. If we were drafting it, Corey Seager at 50-1 is my number one pick.
I love that. Let's draft it.
Okay. Who's your second pick then? Or your first overall pick?
Marcus Semien. He is a fan favorite. Oh, keep in mind, folks, 20% of the vote is fan votes online. The other percent, which is 80,
good solving math, for X,
is done by the Baseball Writers Association. And they all love Marcus Semien. I think it's got to be somebody that people like. which is also why I think Paul Skeens could really win this thing. Because if they want to put him in for two innings, let's say they do, this is like the Paul Skeens show. He's got his runway, is like walking with his girlfriend. We know she's super famous too. This, like, the whole world is obsessed with Paul Skeens. And if he's starting this game and he's already one of the top three candidates for the Cy Young, they're going to want to see him pitch to Aaron Judge and do this. He's 20-1 to win. And if he can strike out three or four guys, it's doable.
Okay. I think now, looking at it a little closer, that Skeens probably has a better chance, but it requires so much. And you said it was about 20-1?
It's 20-1 now.
So if he gets two innings, he's facing the meat of the AL order, obviously.
Well, should we give the AL best, order out?
The best players in the American League, they're going to start with Stephen Kwan, Gunnar Henderson, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Yordan Alvarez, Jose Ramirez. Seventh would be Vladimir Guerrero Jr. So let's get two innings. Let's say it's perfect. Mm. Perfect. Strikes out six up, six down.
That's crazy.
A couple strikeouts. Like, I could see it then, but he'd have to strike out Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, Yordan Alvarez, Gunnar
Henderson.
Well,
then he should get the Cy Young right then.
But what I'm saying is, like, he could, and maybe he would deserve it if he got through that order. But the game will be decided later, and are we going to forget about what Paul Skeens
did?
Probably not, because Paul Skeens is what everyone wants to talk about right now. But what are the odds of him getting through Henderson, then Soto, then Judge, then Alvarez, then Jose Ramirez? Like, that is going to be tough for him, even him. With Semien, though, he's batting ninth in the starting lineup. He's only going to get one at-bat.
No.
There's no way he gets two at-bats. So I want to kind of scratch Semien off my
list. I already bet it, thanks.
I already bet it? Oh, that's...
It's non-refundable.
Non-refundable. Okay. The other name, there's actually two other names that I like. Anthony Santander.
Yes, good one.
Baltimore Orioles.
Crushes.
Always hitting home runs. He's, I believe, fifth in Major League Baseball right now in home runs. He's going to be coming off the bench for the American League. He's just got that pop off that off the bench for the American League. Maybe we see him in the seventh, eighth, ninth inning. He's 80-1. So he's another one that I like. But Ellie De La Cruz, if we're doing the thing where we just fall in love with people, and we can fall in love with Paul Skeens, and that's ongoing. But Ellie De La Cruz is like the super freak athlete who's going to be coming off the bench for the National League. And I feel like if he just has like a crazy defensive play, you know, he like throws it like 100 miles an hour
pretty
for short.
Amazing.
Maybe he gets a home run, runs into one. He's a guy that everyone wants to get behind. He's 20-1 though, and we don't even know what his role is going to be necessarily. So I don't love that as much. I think the best one is Corey Seager 50-1. If I'm going to go with one, it's Seager 50-1.
That's our team bet. I watched Vladdy steal the show, even though he wasn't involved in it last night. Mm-hmm. If you think that Vlad is going to cement himself again in this spotlight tonight, obviously he was one of the stars of last night. He wasn't even participating. He's 25-1 to win All-Star Game MVP. I also like him just to hit a home run. He might get one at bat, but he's going to want to make his mark. Teo had his night. Those guys are best buddies. They're giving each other a bunch of advice of where to hit the ball. Well, clearly it worked for Teo. So Vlad to hit a home run 9-1 for him to win MVP is 25-1. Skeens MVP though. I'm still into that.
The challenge is there. I guess the opportunity is there, because if you get through that order unblemished, you haven't been in the major leagues for more than a year, drafted.
And John was saying his arm is ready today.
Everybody loves Paul Skeens, and the fan vote, you can add that to it as well. There are probably worse bets, but he's got to accomplish something pretty impressive in order to be in the conversation.
Okay. That's at 7:30 tonight.
Solve for X. Boom.
Solve for X. X will be solved tonight, and we'll see how well we did. We did really great, though, earlier, because you picked Teo to win the home run derby. I picked Bobby Witt Jr., and they were both going head-to-head last night.
Yeah, so maybe we continue that, or luck runs out.
Okay, I just thought of this while I was off the air, and I'm going to spring it on you. We're talking about the Olympics. We talked to Scott Russell. I like the Summer Olympics. You like the Winter Olympics. Whatever. It's always fun to sit on your couch and be like, wow, that was your dive? If I gave you...
That was it?
If I gave you 6 months, unlimited money, unlimited training ability, unlimited time and resources, you didn't have to have a job, you just focused on training. I give you 6 months. What Summer Olympic sport do you think that you could compete at? Like, I'm not saying that you're going to win a gold medal. I'm not that dumb. But what is something that you think if I gave you 6 months, no, I'll give you a year. I'll give you a year. I'll give you a year, unlimited funds, resources, time, energy. You just are dialed in on this thing. What could you possibly get good enough at to represent our fine country?
Okay, there's the answer is nothing.
Well, like, obviously, clearly. But like, do it for the crowd.
And I'm going through all these. Like, I'm looking at the list. And most of these, like, are impossible. Like, everything involves something. Like, skateboarding. Like, you're going to get good at skateboarding in 6 months. Like, this.
No, I'm giving you a year now.
Okay, a year.
You do like, nothing else but you skateboard.
It's impossible.
Come on, Tony Hawk.
It's impossible. I can't just become Tony Hawk. You can't. It's just not happening. All these require, like, years of foundation, back class,
I know,
all
but
these
you're
things.
You're getting thrown in there.
But here's my answer. Here's my answer. I get a year, right?
A year.
And equestrian heads are going to.
Oh, you're going to make some
but
people
I think,
mad.
I think it's equestrian. I don't know what goes into equestrian.
Well, it's. Are you doing dressage?
I have like the, no the, idea. The, what
or are you jumping equestrian?
But if the horse knows, if the horse performs the action, right? The horse is performing every athletic movement. That's my only hope. I'm on the horse that's doing crazy things.
I think I would pay so much money to watch you do dressage, which
what
I
is
think,
dressage?
I think I'm saying it correctly. Yeah. It's
I think
like
you are.
It's where you do the artistic dancing music. It's like the
on
horse.
On the horse?
The horse and you are together and you're getting judged by like the fluidity in which you move around okay. the course. It's very elegant.
It's like etiquette. It's like etiquette class where you're just like moving in a way that is proper.
If you listen to the Fan Morning Show, you remember one point in our
tenure, I took a run at horses.
And you said that horses, did you say they were the least athletic animal? You said that horses weren't athletic
animals. They were overrated.
And now you want to ride a horse at the Olympics.
I'm just saying it's the only chance I have.
Okay, so let me.
Can I answer your question?
Yeah.
What? I'll answer your question with a question to you. What do you think was the worst score in the women's golf event in Tokyo? To par.
The worst score to par. It was.
This is four rounds.
It was like they was the golf course in Tokyo?
Yes. Or in Japan.
Six under.
Six under the worst score?
Well, okay, no.
The worst score to par across four rounds was 25 over par.
I could do that, Justin.
I don't think you can beat that. But if your name was at the bottom of the golf list, it wouldn't be the most embarrassing thing ever.
I totally could just.
This woman from Norway.
Yeah. She shot a 26 over.
I believe her name
over.
Is Tanya.
Tanya.
Shot an 81, a 73, 81, 74. Now you can't do that, right?
What was her worst one? 81?
81. You could match her worst round.
If you gave me a year, I could shoot 81.
That's what I mean. If you dedicated yourself
a
year.
I shot an 86 last week. So
there you go.
I just need to take five shots off my game and I can go to the Olympics.
You could have the worst score to par at the Olympic event, I think, if you dedicated yourself for a year.
That's so nice of you.
And were given the opportunity
to play. I think I could. If you gave
me. No, you got to kick out Brooke Henderson.
Well, we only get one representative.
In Tokyo, we only got one. We only got one in Tokyo. I don't know how many are going this year.
But
probably only one.
A whole year of training, unlimited money. Like, I can golf for free.
You can go to the course and you can figure out everything that you need to know about the course.
I could do that.
I think you could be the worst golfer in LA.
Can we make that happen? Just for an experiment. Sportsman, I'll take a leave of absence.
It's a good content.
Paid. And I could do this. My brother's saying not a chance. I don't know. Well, we're going to do our best. table tennis, there's not a chance I could compete in that.
No.
There's BMX freestyle.
Come on. There's so much you need.
Water
polo? You
need
to become like an extreme sport athlete in a year.
Handball.
Are you crazy?
I love handball.
Doesn't mean you're going to be able to play handball. The only other one is
breaking.
The breaking.
It's breaking.
Because you could do... Like, we're not going to talk about the anthem singer, but you could do a bad rendition of something, a bad rendition of breaking, and still compete.
If you gave me a year to learn breaking, and I don't need to win a medal, but I need to just, like...
Break.
I don't think I could do it, because I'd be too, like, embarrassed about my, like,
yeah,
limbs.
It would be more of an embarrassment thing, I think, than doing the breaking.
Okay.
Is there a... you know, actually, another one that's... reasonable. This way might be the answer, actually. Speed walking.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and walking. I don't want to, you know, the speed walking heads, I don't want to piss them off either. But
Is that under track? I'm looking at
it. Probably is under, I don't know, under track, marathon, whatever. But speed walking, I believe, is still a thing. And speed walking is not, like, you could speed walk. You could do the movements.
You know what? I probably couldn't, though, because I've had hip surgery, and I honestly think, like...
Famously hard on the hips.
It's so hard. Have you ever, like, goofed around and sped walk? Like, yeah. You have to have a foot on the ground at all times, right? It's all about the hips. I don't think I could do it.
I think I would do that, and you would golf. I think that's the answer.
I think... What do you think, guys? Folks, anyone have any... thoughts
and
on
maybe
our...
we try equestrian just to see how humbled we could actually be.
This is so silly. Anyway, it'll be fun. I'm excited for the Olympics. I love just casually browsing, and I think the time zone this time will be great for us. Like, it's not too far ahead. We don't have to be watching things at 3 or 4 in the morning. It'll be good. Surfing. Like, I just think there's such a good variety of sports in the Summer Olympics. Pentathlon.
How many time zones? We're on the so surfing at the Olympics this summer is in Tahiti, which is not near Paris. How many time zones away are we talking? Like, how are they going to coordinate middle of the night surfing
right now in Tahiti, into the broadcast? Right now in Tahiti, first of all, it's 6:51 p.m. Eastern here. It's 12:51 p.m. Eastern. It's GMT
behind
minus
us?
10.
Behind us?
Yeah.
Well, that's only actually, 6 that's hours.
Bad. It's is it not
but
the
Paris
same?
Is 6 hours ahead of us.
It's the same time zone as Hawaii.
Yeah, so that's that's the opposite, diametric opposite of Paris.
They certainly are.
So how are they going to do that? I guess it could be in the morning and it's shown at night in Paris. I'm not really sure. It feels like, you know, they could have probably found something closer.
A lot of people in the text line are interested in you riding a horse, I'll tell you that.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Justin at hobby horse riding would be amazing. Prance, Justin Prance.
But if I'm just sitting there. Like, I'd rather sit on the horse than ride the bike.
You can't. You'd have to hold on to the horse. Like,
well,
the horse
clearly.
Isn't gonna.
I had a year to train to hold on to the horse, and
but you're right. Like,
complete the jumps.
You're working on the horse has to be an Olympian too. So clearly, you're getting a horse that's already an Olympian.
I'm attaching myself to an Olympian. That's the only way I could be an Olympian is by strapping on, saddling on to an equestrian horse.
I wish people were answering theirs. I think everyone just knows that there's no such thing. Sport
that's
climbing?
The problem,
you a rock climber?
No, come on. I'm going to rock climb.
Shooting? I've gone to the CNE and shot on those little water gun things.
Not going to get you very far at the Olympics.
Beach volleyball. Armin, producer Armin here, working behind the scenes, he said he would crush beach volleyball.
Okay.
I doubt that.
Armin's shorter than me, right?
Yeah, I don't think we would ever compete in anything. Wrestling, water polo, archery. Someone says archery. There's no way. Rob downtown. Hey, that's a great one. The horse and the golf course. Olympics would be much more fun. You have to jump on something on that horse. Jim from Marilia.
Yeah, we'd stick the landing. Okay, 90 seconds. The MLB All-Star Game is tonight.
That was fun.
Which is exciting. One representative for the Toronto Blue Jays, Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
I hope he has a good showing. I think he'll be inspired by Teo.
That's the thing about Vladdy is, like, we can only have one All-Star. But Vladdy's going to make his presence felt. Vladdy in an All-Star game,
like
it just makes sense. He knows how to... handle himself in these moments. I hope he can make something happen, although we'd be a little bit greedy because last night, despite not being about the Blue Jays, was a lot about the Toronto Blue Jays, even if it brought back some negative feelings about their handling of personnel. But congratulations to Teo. Let's see if Vladdy can give us an act to follow after Teo stole the headlines last night.
I'm off for the next week and a half, so you're just going to see a lot of Justin. And we have some lovely guests coming in.
Yeah, we got
in.
A rotating cast of characters.
He's who your guests
I
are.
I believe we're starting with Jesse Rubinoff.
I know him.
I believe we're going to have a little J.D. Bunkus.
I know him. We know him very well.
Ben Ennis, maybe,
Ben
as well.
Ennis.
Just the best of the best.
Ask them what Olympic sport that they would compete in.
I don't want to ask J.D. that.
He would be like, oh, you dummies, disc golf. He does love disc golf.
Is disc golf an event?
No, but it should be. He'd be good at that. Anyway.
Is he good at disc golf?
Yeah, well, he says he is.
Okay.
He's very confident, man. He'd have an answer for you.
Yeah, he would.
All right, folks. Yeah, so I'm off for the next week and a half. I'll be back.
Enjoy your vacation.
I'm going on vacation with my family. Let's hope we all can handle each other for 10 days driving across an Eastern European country together, okay?
You might have to vlog it.
We will vlog it. Thanks so much. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Justin will be here tomorrow. It's a fan pregame. Bye-bye.